Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Give us a 5-star rating. It massively helps us out. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pitchside. I'm very, very excited for this one because we've got Andrew Henderson on the show. And I think
Andrew,
I think it's fair to say
world champion freestyler.
Five times.
Stop it, Andrew.
Stunt I think Henderson. It's fair to say, Andrew, you are someone who's lived, I reckon, 28 lives. You've had multiple lives.
Yeah.
How old are you again?
Oh, he's actually
30.
This man, this man,
turned 30.
This
turned
man
30.
Is 30 this year.
He's 30 this year.
Yeah. I'm 28.
Enjoy. Okay. Well, enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, but
enjoy
you're no, 30's young. That's bloody young.
For how much you've accomplished, I genuinely thought you were older than that.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
But
not in a dodgy way. You've done so much and been so many places.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Especially in freestyle football. It's like when I started, I was like the new kid on the block, like the young guy coming through. Everyone's like, you're so young. And then now I'm like the old guy. I'm like the veteran. Yeah. But even when I was like 22, I was considered a veteran in freestyle because really? I was like, I'd had like, I think 2 or 3 world champs at the time. So I'd been competing for a long time, but I was very young. So I was considered a veteran from like the age of 20.
But it is getting younger and younger now, I see in freestyle. Like there's like 14-year-olds competing and stuff like that.
That's thanks to social media, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to get on.
Would you say you have an impact of that then?
Oh, indefinitely.
Well, that's what, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I guess so. I think it's just obviously putting stuff out there and doing things like books and stuff that are like everyone can have access to. And obviously just posting content online for loads of people to see. When I first started, there wasn't really much of that. It was just a few commercials, a few football players doing skills, and you know, that's how you saw freestyle. But now you just open up your phone, there's going to be a video that pops up eventually.
It seems to be like highly suited for the algorithm as well, like cool tricks and, you know, like skills and stuff. Just
I want to read 100%. Out, I don't know, you're probably getting a bit embarrassed by this, I'm guessing, I don't really know.
Go on then.
I want to read out your titles you've got.
All right.
Because that's pretty nuts, I can't lie, Andrew. Yeah. 5 world champs, how many in a row?
Well, it was over 5 years, but over 6 years, I took 1 year out. Yeah.
So. What was the reason for that, sorry?
Kind of injury, man. Just mainly just getting injured so much. And to be honest, like, I don't normally have that as an excuse. Like, I would compete with injury. Yeah. I'd say at least 3 of those championships, I probably shouldn't have competed. Yeah. But I'd done all the work and I was just like, I've got to do it.
You got to give it a try.
Especially in the last one, I had a torn hip flexor. And
really?
Yeah.
I've had a torn hip flexor. God. Do you remember when I had mine after weights?
It's the worst thing.
I couldn't lift my leg up.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so painful. Even just sitting down for about 1.5 years after the competition, like sitting down, it was just like painful. And like I had to get up every 5 minutes and walk around and stretch.
Wow.
And I only competed because I knew that would be my last world champs if I won. I was like, I want to get 5 and then retire from it. So
5 world champs, 8 national championships.
Yeah.
Red Bull street style world title.
Yeah.
And I'm reading, I didn't know this, Andrew.
What's that?
Apparently, every competition you've entered, you won. That's not true. Near enough.
I'd say, definitely near enough, but there's definitely been, I have a few losses on my record, unfortunately.
Who the hell has beaten you?
It's a subjective sport. No, I have lost fairly, you know, like in the past. And, you know, it's good to lose, good to learn from your losses. I definitely learned a lot from them. But I would say that the guys that I've lost to, my record against them is good. So, you know, I've lost to, like, for example, Tobias Beggs from Norway. I've lost to him once, but I've beaten him 4 times.
Yeah, it's a good
Charlie
record.
Charlie Icono, who's one of the best freestylers ever, multiple world champion from Argentina. I've lost to him once, but I beat him 3 times. Yeah. You know, so
the record
kind of makes it makes it all right. I don't feel too bad. But
what got you into freestyle in the first place?
So I played rugby. I was a rugby player.
10 years.
Grew up down in Cornwall. Yeah, exactly.
Did you?
So yeah.
You're Cornish boy.
Cornish, yeah.
Whereabouts?
In between Truro and Falmouth. Yeah.
Right at the bottom.
That's it, right. Jesus. Right down
in
south.
The sticks.
Yeah.
My accent doesn't give it away.
No,
though.
It doesn't.
Actually, in Cornwall, a lot of people are kind of racist, you know, to people outside of Cornwall.
Really?
So when I go back down, because I don't have a Cornish accent, they're like looking at me. Like if I go to a pub, people will look at me and be like, what are you doing?
Why aren't you speaking like this?
You ain't speaking like this, boy. What are you doing there, lad? And see, I can't even do a good impression of a Cornish accent. But yeah, grew up down there, played rugby down there, and got a bad injury, broke my leg in five places playing. And
what position do you play?
I played mainly scrum half.
Yeah. Really?
Scrum half, yeah.
Nice.
My Cornish came out there when I said scrum half. Scrum half. Yeah, and then during the recovery, I saw a video of some guys doing some skills, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Do you remember who they were?
Do you know what? It was actually an advert of Brazilian Ronaldo. Yeah, Ronaldo Lima, doing some basic skills, who I later found out it wasn't him. It was a guy that did like
the body, double. Yeah.
That was like the first thing I saw. And then I saw a freestyler called Sofia Ntuzani. It's like a legendary video. A lot of guys started from watching this guy. I actually think I downloaded it on like one of those like LimeWire.
Back in the day.
Yeah, just typing football skills. And just kind of started learning the tricks, went from there. Even with my leg in the cast, I started like trying to balance the ball in my head. And when I started walking again, I was like, all right, cool. Let's see if I can learn some tricks, and just build up from there.
The rugby thing. So you played to a good level.
I played to a pretty good level. Quite a few of the players that I played with, they now play like professionally. They play for a lot of good clubs. In the Premiership and stuff like that. But at the age I was, it wasn't like, you know, it was kind of the transition. The next step would be to sort of build up to that level.
Yeah. How did you break your leg?
I broke it. It's kind of a funny story. So I was playing for a team called Penryn, and the team we were going against was the only city in Cornwall called Truro. And I played for Truro for like 8 years, and then I had a bad fallout with them, so I moved to Penryn that season.
Oh no.
Penryn were like one of the bottom teams in the league. Truro were like the best team in the league, and I started playing for Penryn, and just like partly because I was all right at rugby, but mainly just the growth of the players in the team. They started getting like some massive guys in the team. We started getting good, and we were smashing all the other teams.
And I'm guessing these other guys didn't like that at all.
Yeah, and we were going to play them, and I went to school with all the kids from the other team that I used to play for. And they used to just like wind me up, like, man, I'm gonna smash you when we play at the weekend.
But was it a case of like they are actually your mates as well at the same time? Are they actually more just actually trying to piss you off?
Nah, they were my friends. They were just trying to
wind you up a little bit. Yeah.
We started the game. I'm so fired up. And the ball gets kicked up in the air. I catch it. I run up the sideline. I'm like, I'm gonna smash through everyone's score. I'm just gonna go. I'm taking on everyone. And then like I run up the sideline, and I like there's like three forwards coming towards me. If you guys don't know rugby, forwards are like generally the big players on the team. I tried to step in on the inside. It was a bit of a waterlogged pitch, and my foot just gets stuck in the mud.
Oh.
Just like twist, and then all the forwards nail me.
Oh, I don't.
They're just on top of me, giving me like extra digs and stuff. And then,
oh, so there's definitely malicious intent with the.
It's rugby though.
Yeah.
That standard of rugby. You expect,
but no one plays rugby to go and break someone's leg, but they play hard.
No, they weren't trying to smash me, but they were just trying to smash me with a tackle, which is part of the game.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, it happened, man. I was only 16 as well, so.
Do you remember the feeling of that?
Oh yeah, it was horrible. It was devastating, but that wasn't the worst feeling. The worst feeling was I got to hospital, and it took them so long to operate on my leg, and the nature of the break was so strange that they were like, you might not be able to like ever play sport again.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the time, that's all I knew and loved.
Did
I was
you think
my county sport for like five different sports? I was playing for my county, and I was just like obsessed with it. So I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that must be fucking tough. Especially getting like,
were you expecting to go to a higher level after?
Definitely, 16? Yeah. For me, like as a kid, all I wanted to do was be like the best in a sport that I loved.
You played every sport.
Football, rugby, whatever it was, so.
What sports were you playing then? Because I swear to God, you're one of them guys that just good at every sport.
Mate, you're good at every sport.
I know I am as well, but you're not.
I definitely am.
Yeah, you are not bad. You're not bad at golf.
Good. Well, that's a good thing because I'm pretty pants at everything else. So I'll take that. I played rugby, I played football, table tennis. Used to travel around the country playing table tennis.
I was going to say, you didn't just play table tennis.
I was decent, man. I wasn't like traveling around the world playing, but in the country I was traveling around.
You were pretty, like, you, as an understatement.
Did you play for like Cornwall or something?
Yeah, I played for Cornwall. Oh, that's cool. I played in national like championships.
I want to see
like
him
that.
Versus Harry in table tennis match.
Yeah, we
let's make it happen, Harry.
Yeah,
that'll put be some a, money down.
Yeah, that'll be a good battle. That'll be a good battle.
Yeah, I'll be down for that. No problem.
So you break your leg playing rugby.
Yeah.
How long are you out for? Because you do get told like you're not going to play sport. Were you scared you could walk? Was it that
yeah,
bad?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I did get told that as well. They said there's a chance you might not ever be able to walk again, which obviously I was like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a metal plate, 9 screws put in there. And yeah, it took a good few months to sort of start walking again. I was in hospital for over half a month.
Really?
But I think freestyle kind of saved me in a weird way. I think that's why I developed such a passion for it, because when I was like recovering, instead of being just depressed, like sitting down with my leg in the cast, I was actually meant to be revising for my GCSEs at the time. I actually sat all my exams at home. And
did
then,
you?
Yeah, because of the injury.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just learning those skills, balancing the ball in my head and the side of my head, and even on the cast itself sometimes, like, I think that helped me like develop a passion. When I got back on my feet, like trying to balance the ball on my foot and stuff like that, helped me like have more confidence, I think.
When do you think you started taking it a bit more seriously?
Well, I would probably say maybe the end of 2008.
So this, you broke your leg in 06?
I broke it in 2008.
Oh, you did break it?
Like near the start of 2008.
Okay.
Oh, that's a quick recovery.
I recovered pretty quick. I think at that age as well, you recover. Yeah. I think if I did the same injury now, I'd be done.
You'd be done out for the rest of your life.
Done. So yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, so it was around 2008, the end of 2008, maybe beginning of 2009. Yeah. Then beginning of 2009, I snapped my shoulder and arm in three places, got a metal plate.
I've seen the scar.
How did that happen?
That was, I was just being an idiot. I tell people different things sometimes.
What's the
to
truth?
To save the embarrassment. The truth is I got bitten by a shark when it was trying to like eat me. And I just beat the hell out of it. And then I ate it for dinner. No, I didn't. I would never do that anyway. But no, I was hanging upside down on, you know, like in multi-story car parks, they got the metal girders like on the top of the floor. I was like hanging upside down on it, trying to do tricks. And then I went to like...
Oh, so it was a freestyle-based accident?
Kind of, yeah. I was training and I was just playing around, just hanging upside down. Went to hang on one arm. I was like, oh, I can actually do this. And then I was like, oh, maybe I got really confident. I must have had some energy drinks or something. And I'm like hanging by like two fingers. I'm like, shit, I'm pretty strong. I got this position. And went to hang by one, just slipped, went straight down, bang. Tucked my head in the last minute and just landed all the impact on the shoulder.
I suppose your shoulder sort of like took it for your head, really. It could have been much worse.
Yeah, yeah. So after that, I was like, right, it's time to get a bit more sensible.
Yeah.
You spoke earlier about how freestyle is a subjective sport.
Yeah.
What qualifies someone to be a judge at freestyle world championships, for example?
That is a very good question, and I'd like to know as well, because sometimes like these judges come about, they I think they've started to bring in some sort of like I don't know, like almost like an exam to like qualify them.
Oh really?
Like vetting the judges.
Yeah, like, you've done some judging stuff.
I have. I'm actually judging
but this is what I mean, like you're qualified, you know what a good skill
and do you know what though, you say that, but there are a lot of guys who have won a lot of championships that aren't very good judges. And I think it's the same sort of thing in football. There are a lot of amazing football players that couldn't be good coaches.
Yeah,
no,
100%, 100%.
And it's the same sort of thing in freestyle. Some guys are amazing because they've got this like tunnel vision. They train really hard and they're really good at it. When it comes to judging, they just don't really have an idea of the levels. They just go when they go.
Are there judges that can't do freestyle?
There are, yeah. Or low level freestylers.
I guess like...
I think you have to have done it a bit.
I guess for a lot of people, you could be a fan of the sport and follow it for 10 years and love it and know exactly what, you know, oh, that's a good point, true, that you get high marks and not know how to do it yourself.
Yeah, if you're a fan of it and you study it, then yeah, I think it's possible. But I think you need to be proven. So you need to do like smaller competitions first before you do like majors.
Yeah.
It's definitely harder. What I would say is a lot of people have this misconception that they can judge freestyle because they're just like, they see it, you know, like you could judge it even if you don't know the sport well. Mm. But actually it's very technical and a lot of the tricks that look really impressive are actually some of the easiest tricks. And some of the tricks that look really hard, don't look any like.
What kind of examples could you give us for people?
For example, there's a trick called carousel. It's like where you kind of put your arms like this and you're spinning around in a circle. Looks really impressive, but I could teach both of you guys that. And
I can do it every now and again.
I've seen you do it.
But it looks super sick. Yeah, so
that doesn't take very long.
Is it quite similar to say diving, where you know you get like in diving you get like a certain difficulty of trick and how well you execute it? Is it a point system? Because I never know how you score a freestyler.
That's what I mean.
That's the thing. It isn't like that, and I guess that's the thing. Like if it was made into an Olympic sport, they would have to have some sort
you'd
of
have
points
to, right?
System.
Yeah. You'd just maybe have like, each trick would have to be like a difficulty or something like that, maybe.
Said that, now they're changing it, right? Now they're making Olympic sports kind of like a bit more urban. I've seen like they're putting BMX and skateboarding and stuff in. So maybe it would fit, but actually when they judge freestyle now, it's kind of like there aren't points for certain tricks, but there are certain levels of difficulty for different tricks. But a lot of it is about creativity, replying to your opponent, because you're one-on-one on a stage. So you do a trick, you do a double round the world. I'm like, yeah, well, man, I'm going to do a triple
and then
round
one
the
world.
Stuff like that.
So is it to count a winner, is it winner, or is it a point and point?
It's whoever wins the name. So say there are five judges.
Yeah.
We would, like, I'd hold up a card like Theo.
I never knew that. I never ever knew that.
It's not a point system. No, it's just the name of the winner.
Oh, that's super interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like a dance battle, but with football, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst thing as well, and this happens occasionally, is it's a draw. All the judges like vote different ones. Some.
But why is there not just an odd number of judges all the time?
There is, but sometimes you can vote like this and it's a draw. Like you couldn't decide.
Oh, shit.
So you vote a draw. And then instead, so in a battle, it's usually 3 minutes and it's 30 seconds and then a pass over and you have three sets of 30 seconds each. So I go 30, you have 30, and we do three.
Do you ever get people go under or over their time?
A little bit, yeah. But it really costs them big time though. Yeah. They judges really hate that.
Yeah.
So they try not to. But yeah, so it's 3 rounds, 30 seconds each. But if it's a draw after that, you only have 1 30 seconds each.
That's tense.
Have you ever left anything in reserve thinking that?
Always.
Man. Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was my key to success. Right. I had such a variety of skills that I would always have like tricks like
the money
tucked
shot.
Away just in case. And they'd be tucked away for like the later rounds. They'd be tucked away like for that extra round.
Saving them.
But often they'd be tucked away in case I made a big mistake.
Yeah. Right.
And then I'm like, I have to pull it out of the bag in the last 10 seconds. And that's happened a couple of times. Like one final in Calgary, I wasn't feeling good. And I was like, this is going to be the hardest champs ever for me. Final round, start the battle. I just start dropping the ball. I'm like, what is going on? Control basics.
Them where like as soon as you start, you drop the ball once and then it gets in your head and it's like, oh shit. And then it's easy to keep dropping and dropping and you just like.
Definitely. It's all a psychological game. And they say in a lot of sports, especially like boxing and MMA, like the first thing to go is your legs.
Yeah.
You know, they start turning to jelly and get nervous.
And in freestyle, you don't want that.
You don't want your legs to go in freestyle. So you got to be on top of things. It's definitely a sport that makes you you become more focused and more sharp. So I feel like it's definitely helped me a lot with discipline. Yeah.
So we'll touch on that a bit more. I want to throw it back to your first world championship.
Yeah.
What was that like? Going into it did people know you?
No, I was a big underdog.
Really?
Not many people knew me. I kind of came out of nowhere.
Who was the favorite for the competition? That was
favorite for a freestyle? There was Sian Garner.
Oh, really?
He was the favorite at that time.
I didn't know he competed in freestyle.
Yeah, he competed big time, yeah. So he was definitely one of the favorites. There was a current champion at the time called Azun. He was definitely a favorite. He's like 6'5". And
oh, but 6'5" freestyler?
Yeah, 6'5", fast and solid, like Scandinavian dude. I'd say those guys were the favorites. I scraped in through the rankings to get to that tournament.
Really?
Shouldn't have been there. I just barely qualified. Won nationals, came like fifth in Europe on my first European championships, and I barely scraped in.
It's tough to get, it's a tough process.
Yeah, and I got there, it was in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And I'm 19. Some of these guys.
Did they fly you out there?
Yeah, they flew us out there. We went out there. And I actually had a training partner, a guy called Gautier, a French freestyler. we trained together the whole of the year, which made really good friends the whole year leading up to that tournament. And he barely scraped in as well. I think I was like the 16th ranked and he was the 15th ranked guy going in. And we ended up getting to the final and we met each other in the final.
Did you beat... Did either you like beat Cian on the way?
So Cian got knocked out in the first round by a guy called Shimo from Poland. A very, very good freestyler. And to face him in the first round is very tough because he's got a certain amount of tricks that he's really good at.
Yeah.
And they just busted him out and just like crushed him.
He just destroyed him first. That's the savage thing, but then you use up all your good ones.
Yeah, exactly. You peak heart too early, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but it was a good battle. Like, check that out on YouTube, guys. Like, WFFA World Tour 2011.
So, did you, in that first champs, did you drop the ball? Did you have any, like, downs in that first champs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I made lots of errors. I think a lot of people think, like, if you drop the ball, you lose, right? Now it's like,
must be
quite
when you're
trying the hardest tricks,
yeah,
you're going to make mistakes. It's like missing a shot on target.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you've got to go for things. And if you play it safe...
So dropping the ball in freestyle is like, it's very common.
Very, very common. Common. Nowadays, it's less common. People have like routines and sets. They don't just do it spontaneously.
It's muscle memory, right?
But and they try to kind of just go through the motions.
It's like a dance routine, like you said, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, man. Yeah.
So you face your training partner in the final.
Yeah.
How does that go? Was it awkward?
It was very awkward.
I can imagine, like...
Because it's head-to-head.
But it's not only that, but when you're starting, it's also you're playing for money as well, aren't you? Like,
money,
at the end of the day, it's your
sponsors,
living.
Sponsors, titles. Like, for me, being world champion, like I said, it was like, that was my goal. That was the thing I wanted to do the most out of anything in life. That was like, done, you know, my dreams achieved if I get this. So it was very, I knew that I could do it. I knew that I once we got to the final and I trained with him a lot, I knew I could win. But... putting away a friend's different.
Yeah, it's tough.
A different thing. And the way I approach all these sports, especially like individual sports, is like, I'm like, I feel like I'm fighting, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I go to the battle. I'm like, it's me or him.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be.
When it's a friend, it is a little bit more difficult, but you just gotta know, like,
gotta do what we gotta do.
He's gonna try and win. I'm gonna try and win.
How was it afterwards with him?
Yeah, sweet. He's still one of my best friends to this day.
You know, because it's super subjective, is there ever a point where either of you think it could have gone differently?
So,
or favoritism?
Oh man, do you want to hear a story, right? And like, this is a funny story. I don't know if I might have told you, Theo, like a little bit about this in the past. Maybe not though. So I think the viewers, they're going to find this one funny. So my first World Championships was the year before that, 2010 in South Africa. And Edgar Davids was the head judge for this competition.
Sure,
right? So that instantly I can tell what you're thinking, like, surely he won't know how to judge, right?
Remember like FIFA 03, he was the guy, but he doesn't really, he's a footballer, not a freestyler. I don't know.
Exactly, man.
He's there as a name, I'm guessing.
You said it. So, he was there as a name. You know, he'd done all those Nike commercials with his hair and the glasses and stuff, you know. Like, fair play to him. You know, he was a fantastic football player, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, he was, like, the head judge in South Africa. And it was my first time representing the UK going over there. No one really knew me. Like I said, I kind of came out of nowhere. I just competed in that nationals and won it and qualified. Got through the groups. And everyone was like, damn, this guy's going to win the competition. And I was like knocking everyone out in the group, like doing really well. And I ranked number one from a group stage going into the top 16. And it was all freestyle judges. And then when it was top 16, because it was all televised around the world with Red Bull, Edgar Davids became the head judge.
Shit.
And I went against this guy on the stage, a guy from Holland. Edgar's from Holland. The guy was wearing the exact same shirt Edgar was wearing, and it was Edgar's own sports brand. The guy was sponsored by Edgar's sports brand.
Surely this is a bit...
It was crazy, man. So I wiped the floor with a guy. I think I made one small drop and he made like four or five. I did way harder tricks. And it's considered by many as like the biggest robbery in freestyle history.
I want to watch this.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to it. You can check it out. And so I was knocked out of the tournament there. Edgar voted for him.
But what about the other...
Wait, so his say is final in that situation then, or what?
Pardon?
What he says goes. None of the other...
So there was another judge who was a football player, George Weah.
Oh, wow.
He was there, and I think he was just going...
He doesn't know anything about about freestyle?
He was just going off Edgar's word.
Yeah.
Because he listened to Edgar. And then there's another freestyle judge, a guy called Chris Nkwana from South Africa, who voted for me. So it was 2-1.
Ah,
and
I got out, man,
of it. And everyone kicked off a fuss. People were throwing cans onto the stage. The crowd really? Going crazy. Wow. And it was like we actually had to get physically removed from the stage. It was like kind of nuts.
Holy shit.
Ben. Anyway, so it gets worse, right? This is where it gets spicy. So in the after party, I'm just doing my thing. I'm really annoyed because that was my first
attempt
at achieving my dream. I didn't think I'd ever get a chance again. Yeah. When you're in a World Cup for the first time, I'm sure it'd be like the same thing in football. Yeah. Like, you don't know if you'll ever play in a World Cup.
100%.
And I felt like I might not ever have a chance
and
again.
And especially that robbed feeling as well, when you know you deserved it.
I was devastated, but I was just, you know, in the after party, in the sort of bar club bit, Edgar comes up to me and people would come up to him previously throughout the night. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to be anywhere near him. But people would come up to him and said, hey, man, I was a judge in the groups. Could you let me know, like, why? What were the reasons you voted for this guy, Daniel, over Andrew, and other things like that? And I think he was getting like annoyed by it. So he came up to me and he's like, Andrew, was it fair? And I was like, was what fair? And he's like, was it fair in the battle against the guy? And I was like, to be honest, man, I don't think it was fair. Like, I explained, like, you know, I didn't drop it. I did more technical tricks. I hit all the criteria, all this stuff. And he was like, ha, 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 no, no, no. And I was like, what? You came and asked me, man. Like, and he's like, ha, ha, no, no, no. And I was like, man, like, why are you coming up to me if you don't want to hear what I got to say? And he's like, no, no, no. He was up here, you were down there. And I was like, man, like, what are you doing? Like, just... like, if you don't want to hear what I've got to say, don't come up and ask me. And then he's like, ah, no, he was up here. You were down there. And he went down and touched the floor. And he was, like, laughing.
That's a bit disrespectful, is it not?
So I kind of, like, went off on him, like, and it got really heated. I was just, like, winding him up about everything, like, to the point where I was joking about his glasses. And it got a bit heated. But, you know, I was very emotional. I was very young at the time. And he was being a bit aggressive like that. So we were right in each other's face. And it was going to go down, but security and stuff got in the way. Anyway, so I thought that, okay, that's the last time I might see David ever again. After I won the World Championships in Malaysia a year and a half later, the month after that, I got invited to judge the Bulgarian National Championships. So I go over there and I'm the head judge.
You're the main man now.
I'm the main man because I just won the Worlds. Edgar's the side judge. With me. It's kind of crazy, right? So he's there and he's like, the organizers, they come to me and they say, okay, Edgar Davids has just arrived. We're going to set you guys up in a cafe, like, just so you can get to know him and talk. And I'm like, thinking like, so you can meet him. And I'm like, thinking, do I say that I've already met him? And I'm
surely
just like, nah, be professional.
Surely
Andrew,
he would
turn up. So, of course he does. Of course he does.
Yeah, he would. And just saying that people...
And people were winding him up the whole night as well. About
he would remember
other freestyles going on. After that kicked off, people were definitely reminded him of it. And, like, he wouldn't forget that. No way. Like, not with the intensity of it all. Anyway, so we're sat in the cafe and he comes up to me and he goes to shake my hand. Just for the reference of the story, like, the other judge was, like, a kind of breakdancer guy. Okay.
Yeah, not far off.
Yeah. And Edgar comes up to me and he's like, nice to meet you. You're the breakdancer judge, right? And I'm like, nah, you know who I am. I was the guy that you voted against wrongly in South Africa a year and a half ago. And we had an argument in the club about it and you know exactly who I am. Just like that. And he was like, oh, okay. And then we sat down at a table about a third of this size. One of those tiny little bars, like the
silent
silver tables. And he's got this yes woman with him. And it's just us three sitting on this tiny table. I'm sat like closer than we're sat with him, you know. And he's just there and we're talking. He's like, yeah, what happened about that competition? Like, I saw this other competition. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's the one I won. He's like, oh, you won. And he's like going off. And then he just stands up and a woman from Red Bull just comes up to him and says, hey, Andrew, can I get you a drink? I don't know what I said, maybe yes or no. Thanks. And then he goes, Edgar, can I get you anything? And he's like, if I want something, I'll tell you, you know?
Really?
And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah. And he's like crazy, crazy.
So he's rattled.
That's just his personality.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's just his personality.
Oh, I thought just like your mere presence is just
Nah, it's not my presence. It's his personality, man. I tell you, like that's the kind of guy.
You know what? It actually, because I've told a story about him before. At the Champions League final, do you remember? And I called him Egda by the whatever.
Yeah, I want to hear this, man. I have time to hear Egda's stories. Because I've heard loads.
He has a quality like
really? Egda David's stories to me all the time.
I told you this because
We were in the
I don't want to shit all over him. He's probably a nice fellow to whatever, but
yeah.
We were in the village and he was walking. I went up and said, "Oh, Egda, nice to meet you. Can I get a photo?" And he stops walking and looks at me in the face and goes, "No."
Oh, yeah.
And I go,
I remember that. He shut you down.
But yeah, it's like,
goodbye,
who were you with 2 weeks ago? Like Neymar Jr., like Mbappe. Yeah, yeah. You see how nice they are, how friendly they are.
Why?
And you think they're just like normal guys when you're with them. You know, obviously they're not. They're amazing, like, you know, in every aspect. Like, they're just normal humans.
Yeah,
exactly. But Edgar, a guy that's kind of like getting on, sort of like becoming a bit of a has-been, you know, in football, you know, but obviously he was great, but like for him to do that, it's just there's never an excuse to do that.
Have you had any other notably bad experiences with footballers, because you work with pretty much the entire
industry? Right,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, from
it's just that one
that's
example.
That's why I asked, because obviously we've worked with plenty of footballers ourselves, and I could probably only name like one off the top of my head.
Yeah, everyone's really nice to work with. Like, yeah. I get on really well with everyone. Yeah, that Edgar David situation was kind of crazy. It kind of ended in that situation. We were there in
how was judging bar. In the end?
It was very funny. We got some funny stories about that with Edgar. But when we're in the bar there, like what did he say? He said when he started admitting that he knew about South Africa.
Nice to meet you, mate.
Yeah, yeah. He stood up next to me and he goes, I would have knocked this guy out. I would have knocked this guy out.
What, physically or
he said it to me? No, punch me. Like,
that's what I mean. Yeah. Oh, wow. Out.
He like when we had the confrontation in the club.
Yeah.
He was talking about that. He was like, "Yeah, man, I was this close to knocking this guy out," and like no one around cared. But like he was just like, there was like five people in the place, and he stood up and made a scene. And I'm just like, I'm sat there. And I'm just listening to him, and he said it about five times. I knocked this guy, and he stood up right next to me, like this close. And then Then he sat down, and I just went up to him really close, and I just whispered, "I'm sitting 6 inches away from you. If you want to knock me out, then go for it."
Yeah.
And he just stopped.
Really?
Seems a bit. He can't be. I don't know. Maybe it's just not happy. I don't know. Or there's an ego. I don't know. It's a bit of, but
we're cool now, me and Edgar-ish, you know, like, saw him, I'd be fine with him. Because at the end of the judging, we judged together and he was asking for things and whatever. And I was winding him up a bit because he was on his phone quite a bit whilst judging. I thought I was a bit disrespectful. And I started clapping when someone did a good trick, for example. And I realized he started just copying my claps. So I would clap. I'd clap in between rounds when people weren't doing anything. I'd go, and he would go, and then I'd half clap, and I'd be like, and he would go. Oh.
Do you think it was a case?
And it was just playing back. So kind of we've moved on from then. I won more championships. I won 5. You know, he's not judged again since then. So
I'm
all good with him.
He treated you as nothing when you hadn't won, but as soon as you won, it was more of like a oh shit, or not.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think honestly, it was because I put him in his place a bit when I said I whispered to him. I think that was it. But after then, he was like, "Oh, this guy actually isn't intimidated by me at all."
But from a negative thing to positive
Let's
things,
go positive.
All you've
positive
your roster of player pretty insane.
Likewise, mate. I'm following you, mate. I'm seeing what you're doing.
No. There's levels to the game, Andrew. There's levels to the game. Really? Yeah, you filmed with everyone, mate.
All right.
So let's talk Neymar. You first filmed with him how many years ago?
I first met Neymar in 2010.
There you go.
Brazil.
See, that's what I'm talking about. 12 years ago.
He wasn't even.
Was that?
He might have even been at. Where was he before?
Santos,
I think, yeah. So I first met him then.
Was it a competition that you were down in Brazil?
I was just doing an exhibition for an event called SoccerX, and he was like the new kid that everyone was talking about. Like, this is going to be the next big superstar in football. I had no idea who he was. Came in wearing a cap to the side. Like,
yeah.
He was only 18. We're around the same age. So, yeah, it, that was cool. Didn't really know much, just like chatted a little bit. He couldn't really speak much English, yeah. So it was just like a high sort of thing. And then we met properly and worked together in 2014, a few months before the World Cup, starting to do commercials for the build-up of that.
What sort of stuff were you doing? Were you help choreographing him? Were you doing stuff for your stuff?
Yeah, both. Mainly choreographing. Yeah. At that time, I was doing a lot of choreography for commercials. That was a World Cup commercial. Yeah. Did some other bits where I've been in the commercial with him, but mainly it's been actually choreographing his skills and working with him, which is actually what I kind of prefer to do with players, is work with them on their skills. I like that exchange.
What's it like with obviously choreographing a Neymar commercial? Obviously, he is really good at freestyle as well.
He is, yeah.
But like, do you have to come up with these things for him to do, knowing his ability, or do you try and push? Yeah, do you try and push him a little bit?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily about his ability. I think his ability is far higher than he actually shows when he's on these shoots. But he's got, you know, he's got a job to do, right? He's a professional football player. A lot of people depend on him.
Can't get injured.
Yeah, he's an expensive asset.
He's an expensive asset. Yeah. He can't, and his time's really valuable when he's on set. If he's got a few hours to be on set, you don't want to like break him if he's playing 2 days later.
Yeah.
So it's having that in mind and being professional and making sure that he feels comfortable throughout. Mm. I think often I see a lot of freestylers working with players now, and they try and push it a bit too far and make them do what they want specifically for their content. Yeah. And when it works, it's great for them to get their content, but it's not being super considerate for these players and the impact that they have on people. I always try and think about, like, these players are so valuable and people get inspired by them so much.
Yeah.
Like I share a lot of content and do tutorials and can inspire some people, but like these guys, it's like a million levels above, right?
Imagine trying to make
Neymar,
I don't
want to like risk them getting injured or anything. Of course, I'd love to get content with them and you know, for social media and stuff, and have a good exchange anyway of doing skills. But I kind of just go off their vibes, man. Yeah. If they're feeling it, let's do it. If they're not, okay. If we got a job to do for the commercials, I'll make sure we get it done. And that's it.
Do you have like a graduation of levels of tricks that you see them be able to perform before giving them the next one?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've worked with a couple of players on like specific tricks as well. Like they've come to me and say, hey, how do you do this one? And we've kind of like, oh, blah, give them enough to that they can work on it then and there, but maybe they have to go away and spend hours training it. And Neymar, every time I see him, he comes back and he's better at those tricks.
Oh, really?
So he definitely kind of works.
There's a relationship there then. He
yeah, I think so.
Like a Brazilian footballer, isn't
he? Yeah, yeah.
The Brazilians, man, they love it and they love playing around with the ball, doing different skills. And, you know, especially on the ground. Cristiano as well, like definitely has a lot of skills. I think people forget that nowadays, but if you look back to the United States,
he was a serious skiller,
proper baller. Yeah,
honestly unbelievable. Like his footwork is amazing.
Was it like working with CR7 then?
Really good. I did I've done like choreographed 12 commercials for him.
12 commercials,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, was a crazy experience, and he's a cool guy. And I think one of the things that I really liked about meeting Ronaldo is that we had an exchange that's kind of different to what most people have with him. And most people, when they meet Ronaldo, they're a fan.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm not a fan. Of course I am. But they're all looking to get something from him and they don't really give much to him because he's got basically everything.
Yeah, what can you give to him?
But because he likes the skills and he trained a bit of freestyle, I can
give him something.
Show him some skills. Yeah. And that's something with the football that he hasn't got from anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of, you know, obviously when he was learning, he was getting better, but, you know, he's paving his own way in that. So to be able to have an exchange where I'm showing him some skills and he's like, oh, how do you do that trick? Because I used to do it this way. And I'm like, yeah, you can do it that way. But if you do it this way, you're going to have far more success. And then it's like, yeah, that makes sense. And then it's just like an interesting exchange there.
That colleague.
He's learning off you.
I think it was kind of unique for him. I like to think so anyway.
Yeah.
whatever. But for me, it was cool. And I've told you before, like I'm not like the most knowledgeable when it comes to football. Mm. So I don't really talk too much about football and like transfer market and stuff like that with people, and
they probably enjoy that, right?
And I think they enjoy that because all they get talked about is football. Like, oh, what's going to happen next season? Who were you going to sign for this club? What was going to? And I don't talk about any of that. And I know that he was a big fan of like UFC and Khabib and like McGregor and
oh,
like
really?
And stuff. So that's your expertise. And I love that as well. And I've always had a passion for that. So we talked a lot about that. Actually, the first time we met, it was the McGregor-Alvarez fight. The title fight was like a few weeks after that. So we were talking about like the build up to that. And I've got like videos of like his predictions and stuff. It's like funny to talk with him about that. And I think that just made it like talking to a friend.
Have you ever done
something that we have a mutual interest in?
You ever done stuff with him that's like non-branded? Like he's just invited you around to...
So we didn't do, actually like all the videos that I've put up with him are non-branded. They're just actually me and him playing in between sets, like, yeah, in between takes, like, cause I was choreographing a lot of skills. We were kind of playing anyway, but then it was like a feeling thing. Like I said, with Neymar, it's like when you're on a shoot, you have a lot, less time.
Yeah.
You know, I think we were discussing in Qatar, like you get 10 minutes with these players and everyone's trying to get their content and it's all a big rush and then it's over. Well, because we spent the whole days like being on set and I have to spend that time with him working on the skills. We have so much breaks and we just play around. So there was a videographer there and he just filmed a load of stuff and it's just all kind of natural stuff.
That's cool.
Which I think worked quite well. Maybe the angles weren't exactly how I would have it, but you know, beggars can't be choosers.
I guess you've got to if you're working with them and for them, you have to find that right line of doing your job and being a fan.
Definitely.
If you went up and said, oh, can I get a selfie at the start? Yeah. They would probably treat you a little bit different than 100%. How you were doing it.
I think that's definitely one of the keys to my success in that industry is that I don't really get starstruck.
Yeah.
I've only been starstruck twice in my life.
With who?
Actually, with a freestyler called Nam the Man. He was like a... iconic freestyler for me anyway. Like,
is that when you were in the cast and
it was after that, it was a few months after that I met him at the first championships. It was like a regional qualifier for the nationals and I just turned up and he was the judge and I was like, nice to meet you. And then the second one was David Beckham.
That's a good one.
Yeah
That's fair enough.
Is that him? Nam the Man.
Yeah, that's him. That's the guy.
There he is.
Nam the Man. And well found.
You know,
yeah,
you know when you speak about
Nam the Man
choreographing for commercials and stuff, how many tricks or skills have you, Andrew Henderson, invented?
Oh, that's...
Or is it up for debate?
I would say including variations and transitions and just tricks by themselves, around like over 1,000. Yeah, over 1,000. Yeah,
so when you...
So I thought you were going to say like 10?
Yeah. 10.
Well, I know it's going to be a lot. Surely.
No, it's a lot because when you create a trick, this is the great thing about freestyle. When you like create a trick, sometimes you unlock like a new element. And like there was one trick I created where I like catch the ball on the side of my head in a handstand. And then I created...
Accidentally?
Like,
or?
No. I thought about it and created it. But then after that, there's like maybe 7 or 8 variations of that that come with that trick. And because I created that initial trick,
they're all yours.
I get all the variations. Yeah, so I'm like, right, I better get all these before anyone else learns the initial one, then starts building the variations.
So when you come to judge events, do you see a lot of your stuff?
Yeah, man, all the time.
That's cool though, right?
Do you know what? It wasn't cool at the start.
Yeah.
Because
he busts on my tricks.
There's a big culture and it's the same in breakdance. If anyone follows breakdance, they'll know there's like this thing where people in the crowd, they do this. And it means copying. I mean,
In
French it's pompeur, I think. And it's copy and it's like the worst thing. Don't copy. You need to be original.
Plagiarism.
True to yourself. Yeah, like exactly. You said
to reference,
citations.
I suppose it's more supposed to be a homage rather than like I've just taken your trick.
But yeah, exactly.
I guess to a certain point, doesn't it? Like eventually, you're gonna have to. People will copy others.
So that's the thing. Now I feel blessed when anyone does it. I'm like, oh damn, you did one of my tricks. That was something that you've added to your skill set, and it's just part of the sport now. It's just one of the sort
that's
of
so
foundation
sick.
Tricks and I like that. That's cool, you know.
It's like you've created people are looking up to and learning from.
You know, like in football, the flip flap. That's the goal. Like
Cruyff turn,
right?
By Johan
You know, not Cruyff or
Ronaldo,
you know, whoever did. Yeah, exactly. People are gonna do it. It's not like they're gonna be annoyed.
Imagine
Johan did my Ronaldo chop.
That was a perfect way to get out of evading a challenge. Why has he done that?
You mentioned David Beckham briefly.
Yeah.
Briefly. How many times have you worked with him? What's that been like? What's he like as a man?
I've only worked with him once. He didn't do any skills or anything. He just watched my performance and we met after. And It was a very cool experience, and it was in Macau.
You literally have just been everywhere.
Oh, he's been everywhere. There's not been a place he hasn't been.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Yeah. I get around. No. So yeah, it was in Macau, and it was like the Hollywood of China were like invited down to Macau, like Hollywood equivalent in China were invited down to Macau. And then David Beckham was doing like a talk on the stage. I was there. I had to do some performances. And after I finished, his management, they came to me and they're like, yo, Sir David Beckham wants to see you in the backstage.
Like, oh, that's so sick.
That's cooler than meeting. That's getting asked.
Cool. Yeah, got asked. And I was like, this is cool. All right, cool. So I go to the back. And it's funny because it's like just me and David Beckham, like two like white British guys. And everyone's just like trying to sit around. So we stood out like sore thumbs. But it was fun. So we went to the back. And it was like a big backstage room, just me and him in there. And we were probably like there for like 30 minutes just talking about stuff. But on one side, it was the back of the stage. And it had the back of the projected screen, but it was flipped so you could see the right way, but on both sides. And they played his free kick against Greece. And I remember where I was in that moment. I'm sure you guys do as well. And I watched that with him, and that was one of the most surreal moments.
What's his reaction to that?
He was still like, it was, you could see that he felt
he said it's his best ever goal.
Yeah, I know. He said it on the over that.
I remember getting like the shakes watching it, and then just being there watching it on this massive screen and just looking, David's there, and I'm seeing him watch it. And I remember me as a kid, like, what was it, 2001, I think?
Do you think he looks at that and is like, that was me, holy shit? Do you think he looks at, or is it like, oh my God, look at that man? Then it's like, it's a weird feeling of, oh my God, that is actually me. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get you 100% because I have that. Experience. I mean, obviously it's a lot lower level and not as many people know, but personally, like when I see me in like a finals of a world championships and I watch that back and I'm like,
damn, that's good.
Part of me feels like when I was there, part of me, it remembers like the feeling of when I was there. And then another thing is just me watching it. And I'm just like, it's like it's someone else.
Well, yeah.
You were in flow state at that point. Like you have to be in order to.
Yeah. And it's been so long as well. Now I'm like, I can see it differently. And I think, I think for him, it's different though with that because the crap, the reaction, the commentary. Yeah. But
it's the 93rd minute.
The moment, what it was for, like, oh man.
Especially after 98 as well.
Yeah.
You got to remember, that's only 3 years later. Yeah, he was getting death threats for years.
Yeah.
And turned then he, it all around. And just,
sorry, I don't want to stay on that free kick. That free kick.
Have you met him?
Never.
Oh, we got very. So that's why the opportunity in Qatar was.
We got. Yeah, I don't know if you know about that. We got quite close to meeting him.
Oh,
in Qatar
during that trip because he was out there, wasn't he?
They got in contact with him, and they said whoever was messaging at the time, it was me and Ben trying to organise it. Yeah. They're like, I wish you'd text us earlier in the day because he's just going to bed and having dinner.
Oh man,
I was like, motherfucker!
You'll get your time.
That goal sent England to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Imagine having the bollocks. The pressure to actually shoot.
And it's not a penalty.
99. No.
It's not a penalty. English players doing a penalty with that pressure.
I genuinely think.
Tend to kind of flop.
Yeah. 99% of people were there.
Free kick, man.
They will chip that into the box. 99% of people chip it into the box and take the safe option. But he didn't.
Yeah.
So that pressure, mate.
Yeah, but he's practiced for.
No, but there's a difference.
For two decades.
You can practice all you want, but that pressure you can't practice.
No, but what I mean is, yeah, exactly.
Like, but even so, like, so. What do you feel more pressure in? A world champs or performing on stage in front of people?
The competitions, man.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not when I'm on stage, it's before. Like knowing that this is what I really.
Then when you
really
get out there, you get into it, it's okay.
Performing is like, it's like embarrassing yourself if you drop it or in front of loads of people. It's like, oh, that was really embarrassing. But it's not like my life, like I see that as something I do and I enjoy, but like I know my skill level. Yeah. I know that like it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But in a competition, that's like history in the sport and my history in the sport, my legacy. Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot more fun.
What's the craziest places you say you've performed? Top three?
World Cup final in Brazil. I would say I did some work there. Olympics in London 2012, performed there.
Where are you performing?
I like Old Trafford, man.
But where are you performing on the pitch?
Are you United fan?
I'm not a United fan. Oh, but
who do you support?
I'm kind of neutral, man. Okay. I know everyone's going to go boo, but yeah, I'm kind of neutral. Like I said, I grew up playing rugby. I did used to be a United fan when I was younger. My dad even shaved my head when Beckham had
really?
His head shaved. With the dog shears, I might add.
Did you tell David that when you met him?
Do you know what?
I should have done, yeah.
I don't know if I did.
He's like, mate, I copied your hairstyle.
He didn't. His dad did.
Yeah. No, yeah.
On him.
Yeah.
But when you say like the World Cup Final Olympics, are you performing like on the side of the pitch? Are you performing for work
yeah,
to do with
so
it?
Yeah, so I performed like in the Olympics in the arenas, like the basketball arenas, handball arena, different stuff around there. And then, yeah, other stadiums and stuff. Sometimes it is performing like halftime or pre-match in the middle of the field. Yeah. One of the weirdest ones I did, like I said, I played rugby. I did a rugby freestyle show in front of like 85,000-90,000 people
with
in
rugby.
Dubai. It was Dubai Rugby Sevens. Amazing tournament. I don't know if you guys...
Sevens is savage.
It's so sick. And the events like are so fun as well. Yeah. Like if you guys like... party and stuff, you're gonna enjoy that a lot. And I was just like performing halftime with the rugby ball there, and it like it's not often windy in Dubai. I mean, maybe it is if you go out to the desert, but yeah, out where we were at, it wasn't throughout the tournament. But when I stepped into that field, it just happened that it started being windy. It wasn't a hurricane, but could have been a sandstorm somewhere else.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
But
and you're playing with the rugby ball, right?
And yeah. I was with the rugby ball, and that's the thing with the rugby ball, it's so unpredictable. A bit of wind, oh man, it was tough. I didn't drop it, but
it's hard.
It was close like two or three times. I was like, oh.
It's
no.
The fact that Andrew can do tricks that people can't even dream of thinking about doing with a rugby ball.
Yeah. So, what would you say is your like signature move?
Signature move.
Yeah, the one.
Can I have a guess?
Go for it.
It's the one where you do like your left leg comes really fucking high. It goes round.
Do you know what? It might be that. Like,
the round the world, but both ways.
I don't know, to be honest. I have a lot of different moves. I'd say, yeah, it could be that one. I got another one where I do like a kind of like cartwheel and I put my foot around it twice at the same time. Mm. Yeah, probably.
What's your favorite one then?
Favorite one?
Because if you can't decide a signature one.
So I've got one where I balance the ball on the top of my head.
Yeah, that's, yeah,
I just
yeah.
stand there.
That's
and then
sick.
I do a backflip and I catch it like when in my legs when I'm upside down. That's quite a cool
How'd
one.
You even learn did, that?
I mean,
you
got to learn to do a backflip
yeah,
first.
Yeah.
I swear the balance of the head and then you I swear the one on the head, so at the top of the head.
It's not too complicated. Just learn those two and you're fine.
Did you come up with that? The one on the top of your head staring forward?
No, I didn't come up with that actually. No, I didn't create it.
So I've seen Ronaldo do it before in warm-up.
Yeah. He kind of like goes down. Yeah. I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, Maradona used to do it, didn't he? When he'd like, and then he just blocked
balance. No, he balanced it here. I'm talking about balancing it here.
Like I right swear he's top. Done. I swear I've seen Maradona doing it where he's. Okay, maybe not then.
Something for debate, guys. Yeah. A lot of players can do those moves.
The crowd
now.
Going like that.
Yeah. Maradona. What would you say your craziest experience has been throughout your adventures?
Craziest. There's some that I can't talk about. Just yet. There's some like kind of nuts ones like out there, like maybe that's for a different conversation, but when we're keeping it like football stuff, it's not dirty. He's got a dirty mind, but it's not dirty.
I'm saying it's non-football, isn't it? Right,
okay. What about like freestyle? Yeah, freestyle then. Or when you've realised, like the David Beckham moment when you're like, oh my God, this
that
is actually
was
nuts.
Big, man. That was a really unique one. For me, obviously like world championships and stuff are like precious memories. Just crazy moments. Oh man, it's hard to pinpoint one.
What world champ meant the most to you? Number 5 or number 1? Or number 3? Or number 4 or number 1? 2.
2.
The first one, man. Yeah. The first one. The first...
Is that because of what happened in the comp before? Is like redemption?
Yeah, the first one, I'd say. And the last one. Just those two.
Because to top it off, number 5.
The other ones were like good, but not the best.
Obviously, freestyle is not... It's not like... football, do you know what I mean? But it's sponsored by, it's got a lot of Red Bull, got a lot of stuff. What sort of money is in like prize money though?
Nah, it sucks, man.
Prize money
still
sucks, man.
I thought now it's getting so big.
I know, man. I was a big like advocate for this, like try and get the money up and stuff. And I had a lot of it was weird because for a period of time I was like the like the face of the sport,
yes.
Like, especially competitively, because I was winning all these competitions. So I was, you know, like an ambassador almost. So I was talking to the federation, trying to like build it up and like say like, look guys, you need to do better, get more money.
But also, and also back then they didn't have the social media that there is today.
And you know, like in our country, you can make money with these things in so many different ways, yeah. Whether it is social media or even before that with performances, commercials, stuff like that. But yeah. Some of the guys who are the best in the world are in Colombia or Poland or Russia, and they don't have like they can't make money. They need to make money from prize money. So it wasn't good enough. And I stood up to like all the big brands and I told them, like, even to one point where like I said I was talking about the injury with the competition, but why I didn't compete that year. But part of it as well was because the prize money, yeah. and also the judges, they were putting celebrity judges in and everyone complained, but people would cave in the end. And I was like, it's got to come from the top, the guy who's the champion.
Yeah.
And I was the current champion of Red Bull, and they made the next, I won it in Brazil. The next year they wanted me to defend my title in London.
Mm.
And I said, I'm not going to compete. If you don't make the prize money this, or if you don't take those judges out, or at least do one, I won't even consider competing. And they put a little bit more prize money, but it wasn't anywhere near enough, and they kept the judges the same.
Because at the end of the day, like, this is people's livelihoods.
I didn't compete.
Yeah.
Like, also, as bad as it sounds, like, if you don't have the prize money, the sport won't continue, because people may love it and whatnot for the game, but to be a world champion in a sport, you have to dedicate full time. Like Jack, for example, Downer, world champion, Panna champion.
Yeah.
He's athlete first, Instagram second. Like he trains three times a day.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the prize money, then it's impossible to continue the sport. People will just stop.
Well, that was the same for me, man. Like when I was just focusing fully on freestyle, I don't compete anymore. But when I was, all I was doing was training. I was just training nonstop every day, all day. Nothing else mattered to me. And I saw the rise of other freestylers on social media. And I was thinking, like, I probably should get on this. But I didn't want to distract myself. I was just like, I just care about the sport. And it wasn't good for my bank balance at the time.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I can imagine.
It was pretty tough. To the point where, like, you know, to travel with freestyle when I was like 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, I was like busking in the streets. I was sneaking on trains.
Yeah.
I was
getting by,
doing all sorts, man, to get to the place I need to be, to get to the level that I wanted to be at, and get opportunities and survive, really. So yeah, it was pretty challenging.
For the future of the sport, what could be done other than altering the price structure of championships to allow these people with lack of opportunities that are so good at the sport to thrive in the future?
Yeah.
What's the prize money for, say, 2022 world champs?
I actually don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a lot less than most people would think. You're not even talking tens of thousands. You're just talking thousands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would have thought like...
Maximum 10. Maximum 10K, man. They're ripping everyone off, man. It's crazy.
They must be making a lot of money, though.
They're making... I don't know, man. I don't want to get too much into the politics right now, especially seeing as I'm flying out to Florida to judge in just over a week's time.
But they should definitely...
With the federation. Yeah. But they need to get their ass into gear, man.
How do they nurture a new generation of freestylers, then?
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't really help for the growth of the sport when you can't see a future in it. Like, that's the one thing I've tried to explain over the years to them. I said... exactly that is like when I was trying to convince my parents that I wanted to become a full-time freestyler, they were like, can you even make a living from that? And I remember when they asked that, I was like, I don't actually know. Because there wasn't really social media at the time, it was just Facebook, and you know, it wasn't like brands and creators and influencers or whatever, so it was just like doing a few performances. And you know, you can make a living doing performances or going into schools, going to like doing shows and things like that, or you know, but mainly it's social media related.
It's a lot of graft.
And there's a lot of money. Like some of these freestylers now are making like crazy money doing commercials, working with brands, sponsors. Yeah. But me personally, I've always tried to do different things. Like I set up my online like subscription service for, it's not OnlyFans.
Yeah, like, not yet.
Like a masterclass program teaching football skills.
Had actually on masterclass?
No, my own like masterclass. Yeah, my own like one. Yeah, yeah. That would be sick, to be fair. That was a cool project. And then, yeah, doing like my own book, teaching skills and trying to pass on, because now I'm like doing other things, training martial arts. I'm still heavily involved in the freestyle scene. Like I said, I'm judging a bit as well. So there's lots of different revenue streams. But what I would say is just when you start, just focus on enjoying it and having fun. Like when you play football, you don't want to think about being earning money.
No one starts playing football to earn money.
No. Just do it and have fun, and the rest will take care of it.
But I think if you look at like another new sport, like say CrossFit, for example, the prize money they're pulling in now for world champs and stuff is pretty huge.
It's got big brand.
Massive.
Freestyle has the scope to have the same, man. It's that link to football.
Yeah.
And the fact that all you need is a ball to do it. So you can endorses like a healthy, active lifestyle that's accessible to anyone, even if they don't really have much money. You don't need specialist facilities. You don't need to pay for like anything specific. If you can just have access to a football, you can become a freestyler and a phone and great content.
Not even just that, like you don't even need to know how to play football. Like Leah, you know, Leah, world champion female.
Yeah, yeah.
She can't really play football.
She's not. She used to be her love.
She's a dancer. Was it
exactly? People coming from different backgrounds.
Learn how to do.
Did you ever play?
I did play. Yeah,
football.
Yeah, I played football. I was all right at football. I'll play a few games, charity games. I wanted to be in like some of the ones you guys are involved in sometimes, but I think there's a bit of a thing with freestylers, or there was a bit of a thing at the time with freestylers where it was kind of like, we don't want them just like showing up people or trying to skill them.
Yeah.
Actually, when I play football, I'm not really very skillful. I just like this guy that runs down a wing and just like, I'm a bit more like aggressive when
but,
I play.
But you had a base to work from.
I played a lot of football. I was serious with football. That was like my first passion. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I think it's a fascinating story. Like, and now, obviously, you've done all that and you said you're training martial arts. You're a big MMA fan.
Yeah.
You had a fight. Was it Fame? Fame
I went
MMA?
To it.
Up in Newcastle. He was there.
Yeah.
You watched it.
Yeah, I remember.
Beat Mike Fox.
Big Mike Fox, the man himself. It was funny, like building up to that, like when he said that a lot of guys pulled out. I was gonna I had maybe five or six guys that I was gonna fight, and then Mike finally was the one that agreed to it.
Cool, mate, I'll tell you what, brave.
I thought he was like probably like 70 kilos, but when I met him, he was big, he was huge. He was like 95-96 kilos or something. I think I met him once at the Weller KSI fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like probably like 75 kilos or something. And then, to see him like 2 years later when I had the fight with him, like before that, he was massive all of a sudden. So I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
Different guy. And he's like shaved head, tattoos everywhere. I was like, damn, this guy. It's not the same guy. But it was fine, the fight. You know, he's,
is that the
fight?
That's the last one you've had, right? There's not been one since.
I think anyone that's... I think you are too good.
Thanks, man.
You are very... you're MMA, like, first. Would you say now? Is that your main thing now?
I definitely focus on it a lot.
Yeah.
I definitely train it a lot. I've started to compete in other martial arts now as of recently. And I'm putting a lot of effort. I train with very good guys, man. The team that I train with, GB Top Team, Great Britain Top Team... some of the best guys in the country, some of the, you know, some global superstars in there for the sport, you know, got a lot of UFC Bellator fighters in there, and I train with them on a regular basis now. It's tough, man.
Is that because of the mental and physical challenge of fighting, or is it because you want to do more fights?
Both. I was obsessed with martial arts as a kid.
Right.
My father did judo to a high standard, and I think that motivated me. When I played rugby, I loved the contact side, loved the tackling.
Yeah.
And what I love in fighting is the same thing that I love in freestyle, is that ability to kind of control your body and move it in so many different ways and be able to adapt and react to things. So in freestyle, reacting to the opponent's skills with football. In fighting, I'm reacting to their skills as a fighter doing different martial arts, and I just love that. I love being able to feel free and do different moves, whether it's kicks or flips or skills with the football. So I think that's why I love fighting, and Yeah, it's just fun, man. It's fun getting in there. I think it's just like a man, like a male sort of thing. Like, I don't know. It's like in our DNA. I don't know. Yeah, it's something.
Do you think that one has helped the other? Because the tricks that I've seen you do surely have aided some of the processes in fighting.
It sounds really strange. Like, why would freestyle football skills help a fighter? Yeah. But it does help. And
the flexibility.
I think with that fight with Mike, everyone thought I was just going to go in and try and kick him because I'm kicking a football in different ways. They thought, oh, he'd probably be able to kick. I think no one expected me to grapple with him, especially him. And I knew that he'd done a lot of wrestling and judo before. Like, that's what he told me like a few years back when we chatted. So I remembered that, and I think he just thought he was going to be the Khabib and I was going to be the McGregor thing. And I don't think he expected me to grapple because, he didn't know my background. And I love the grappling, man. The grappling for me is so good. It's so fun. I just think it's like the thing. So now I like all martial arts. I love the striking as well. I would love to jump on one of these like YouTube boxer cards, like, I don't know, social media boxing cards. If anyone wants to throw down between... 70 kilos and 90 kilos. Anyone?
Is there anyone you've got?
Not really, man.
Fuck off! Absolutely,
Seth Reeves, man. No, I'm not. I don't want that.
Is there anyone that you have your eye on?
Well, you're meant to be fighting tomorrow.
Actually, yeah, I'm meant to be fighting tomorrow. Sounds ridiculous. Yeah, I'm meant to be. I was meant to be fighting main event Wembley Arena tomorrow.
Who's the person?
There's a guy called James Locke, a Towie guy, only wears Essex.
Oh,
guy.
Is it actually?
Yeah, big.
Canel. Why is he not fighting?
Bailed.
Yeah, he didn't want it. Like, we signed to fight each other. He's a heavier guy, taller guy. But, do you know what it was, man? Like,
boxing or MMA?
MMA. Okay. MMA show. They've spawned the whole event now, but he refuses to fight me. Coming up with all sorts of excuses. I'm sure they don't want me to out him, and he probably doesn't want me to out him for being a coward, but... That's just the truth of it, man. I saw his eyes in the press conference. And
maybe he's not a cat. Maybe he's just smart.
Wait, did you have one this week?
He knew that.
I would reckon. But the thing is,
he would wreck anyone.
Yeah, it's true.
The thing is, like, he looks like he'd wreck me. Like, if you just put us next to each other, you'd be like, he's taking me out. Like, I'm not that big. Yeah. I'm not that heavy. You know, I'm not at all. But like.
Yeah, but you're dense.
And I'm determined and I train hard. I don't skip anything. Like, I'll just go.
And every day mind to.
Training. Yeah, I'll wake up. Like, as soon as we signed the fight, I'm every day mission on it, nonstop, nothing else. And he's the kind of guy that will train an hour and then just put his feet up and chill out for a bit and go, yeah, that's a good amount for today. I think I'll win the fight.
Yeah.
And that's never enough for me. That's not an option. I got to do everything I can to... be the best version of myself going into that cage. And I think he started realizing that because as part of the contract for the fight, there was like a TV show that we had to be on and we had to train 3 days a week in a gym. And
I remember
he was in that gym. We weren't training at the exact same times, but we were in teams. There was like a red team and a blue team.
Yeah.
So other fighters on the card were in my team and other fighters on the card were in his team. Some of the guys that were in my team, big guys as well, guys even bigger than him, were friends with him and they were telling him, I think. And, not telling him behind my back, but sort of like, word would come out, he's done well. Like, yeah, he's decent. And I think he got a bit worried.
Do you find that you need something or some kind of a challenge in your life to drive you with purpose?
100%.
Because you seem like, unless there's a goal.
Yeah. It's I was actually saying it yesterday on another podcast, like, I'm just kind of never really satisfied.
That's the impression that
it's
I get.
It's the curse. It's the blessing and the curse, right? Because you
want always looking for the next thing.
Yeah, and it makes you do more. It makes you strive for more, but then I'm never like fully satisfied, man. I'll win a world champs two weeks later.
Do you have holidays? And,
yeah, man, sometimes, yeah. And I'm from Cornwall, so going and seeing my family going down there is
lovely.
Is a holiday.
Do you surf?
I'm really bad at surfing.
Now, the one thing
that's
you can't
definitely
do is surfing,
modest, isn't
and
it?
And it's ironic for you from Cornwall.
It's not modest. Surfing and golf, like, nah.
Surfing and golf, really? No.
I want to learn. Like, I want to learn golf a little bit.
It's just a nice idea. Just to, like, it's a lifetime sport. Like, it's a lifetime sport. You meet good people. Do we have a quiz, Jack?
We do have a quiz. If you want a quiz,
yeah. Before we do the quiz, I've got one more question, Andrew. What is the player that you haven't filmed that you'd like to? Have you filmed with Ronaldinho?
That's one of them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I've got like the old Yoga Bonita ball as well. Yoga Bonita.
You'd have, he'd love
I've got like the old one, the original one as well, like in good condition. So I'm like,
is that the Scorpion? Got to do with that.
Not the Scorpion one. That. No, it's I think it's even before.
All right.
Might be just after, but it's
that
like,
was one of the earliest Yoga Bonita adverts, wasn't it?
That was sick. The silver one.
Yeah.
This one's like gold and white.
Yeah, gold and white.
And it's like, oh man, they made some new ones recently, but they don't look the same. So this one's the one.
So is Ronaldinho the one, or is there any other else?
Ronaldinho would be amazing.
Would I'd be a bit scared me and Ronaldinho because I've heard.
That it's not the same. Yeah.
He's not the same man.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
I feel like I'd be a bit upset.
Do you know what? Like, first time I met Brazilian Ronaldo, Ronaldo Lima, I worked with him for a few days. People were saying that about him. And then I met him and
he
was a bit bigger. And
but he looks
and,
joyful. He looks happy.
He was happy and it was cool.
And he speaks very good English, doesn't he?
Pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He sounds like American when he speaks English.
Yeah. He's got like a thick accent. So
no, what's the documentary? On ESPN.
But he's a
design, sorry.
He's really cool. So I don't know. I think it might be individual experiences. Cause I've seen sometimes he's with other freestylers and they're like kicking it and he looks like he's like just himself, like back in the day. So I don't know, but
I think with you, I think if he saw you playing, it would like ignite like a spark.
Hopefully. Maybe it's just one of those things where it's like, these football players, they're getting like everyone just constantly nagging them.
Yeah.
And they might just not be in the mood. You know? Sometimes they get on set and they're fresh because they've just woken up and got in a,
no one's nagged
a car and got and been dropped off and then they're there with their team and no one's there. Sometimes they're with like, they've got to do like a thing in front of like, I don't know, hundreds of people first, then a signing, then this and pictures. And then it's just like, can be too much. So yeah. Try and not like, you know, slate him too much for that sort of thing. Yeah. But that would be good. Ronaldinho. Yeah, you said it, man. That's
and one more?
I think Pele, probably. Pele would be the one. Do you know what? For me, like people that I want to meet, like it's more like fighters, to be honest. Like
really?
GSP or like Fedor back in the day. He was a legend of it. Like obviously like McGregor, Khabib, guys like that. I'm right now my mind's on
fight.
That. Yeah, fighting, man, for sure.
Right, on that note, I know you don't know anything about football.
Oh, this is going to be the most embarrassing thing ever.
We're going to help out
guys,
on this one. We're going to help out on this one.
I might sit closer to Theo so you can just like help me out here. Oh, this is going to be so bad. Do you have a scoreboard of all your...
Just there.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you might have to make some new space at the bottom of that because I'm going to be...
Ben Foster got one.
I'm not getting one. If Ben Foster got one, I'm
Cal Freese got one.
Oh, no. Don't do this to me, guys. All right, let's do it. Do you know what? I don't mind being embarrassed. Like
he might have put freestyle questions in.
Okay,
I haven't put freestyle. Okay.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for helping me out. I just met this guy this morning. And
there's some 50-50, so you got a chance.
Oh, you got
50,
50, 50. 50.
I got some okay. There you go.
How many 50-50s are there?
Two.
Okay.
Oh.
So I could potentially get two. Yeah.
Good.
There we go.
Question one: true or false? Cristiano Ronaldo was caught offside more than any other player in the Premier League this season.
False.
I'd say false.
I'd say true.
It's true.
Is that actually?
Mate, he's always constantly offside for United.
Yeah, but he didn't play like.
He's also old. He's also
though.
Old and he doesn't track back. He just sits there.
I thought it was Ollie Watkins.
Right. See, look at me. I'll go for 5 out of 5 today, lads.
Okay, question two. Only two goalkeepers played every minute in the league this season. Can you name either of them?
Every minute in the league?
Do you know any goalkeepers in the Premier League?
I know some, but I have no idea.
I think I know I think I have an answer. And if I get this right,
I've got one, I think.
How many have you got to name? Two of them?
Two.
Just no, there is two. You have to name one.
Oh. Hugo.
Well, hang on. I don't know, man. I'm going to pass on this one.
I'm going to go captain of Spurs, Lloris.
Okay, Melier.
It's Lloris and De Gea.
So. I was going to say De Gea and Melier. No!
I don't think
I've ever seen
I
a
would have just
shooting.
Embarrassed myself. I was like thinking
you would have said like Peter Schmeichel or someone.
I don't think I've ever seen a Spurs team shoot.
Oliver Kahn.
Oliver Kahn, what a player. I was actually going to say David De Gea. David. Yeah. I was going to say David De Gea, but I went...
Nice. All right, so I'm smashing it so far, as expected.
2 out of 2 for you, 1 out of 2 for me, 1 out of 2 for Reeve.
Question three, 10 players scored Premier League hat-tricks this season, but which player scored a hat-trick against his former club?
Bloody hell, this is impossible. hat-trick against his former club.
I think I've got it, but I don't know if he played for the former club. I don't know if that's true, though.
I haven't got it.
Who the fuck's got a hat-trick this year?
I'll wait until someone else gets an answer, but I'll fire it out.
So which player would have scored a hat-trick?
There's been a lot of hat-tricks.
I don't know.
10, in fact.
Against his former club.
It's not good for me.
I think I've got it, but I could be wrong. I'll fire an answer, actually. I'll fire an answer.
You go for it.
Josh King.
It is Josh King.
Nice.
Who did he score a hat-trick against?
Everton.
He played for them under Ancelotti for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's niche, man.
What the hell is this question?
If Theo can't get the question right.
Yeah, man, that's bullshit.
That was a good answer.
I'll just leave.
Okay, this is another 50-50, so you're back in.
Thanks, man.
Gareth Bale's been linked with a move to Cardiff this week, but has he ever scored against them?
Ooh.
Scored against them?
When would he have played against them? So it would be for Spurs. Does pre-season count?
No.
Oh.
So it would have been for Spurs, wouldn't it?
FA Cup?
Spurs, Cardiff.
League Cup, something like
that. I can't remember him scoring against Cardiff.
Are you going to go true or false?
I don't know, man.
The last one was true.
The last one was true.
I know.
But then it was
gambler's fallacy.
I'm going to go for false.
Any old false?
I'll go true. You make it. You made the 50.
I'm going to go true.
He's not scored.
Oh, no! I'm voting a score.
This could be a donut.
Reeve, man. I was backing him.
Oh. Come on, Andrew. This is a team effort.
I should have backed my
own. Yeah, last one's always a who am I.
Okay.
This is a team effort.
Okay.
It's my specialty, so I'm Team Andrew today.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Then I'll get one.
You could get this one.
Or Theo get it right.
Yeah.
Okay. I've played in 2 Champions League finals for different non-English clubs.
Oh.
When I moved to England, I openly said I didn't want to leave my old club, and I've scored the winner in a Copa America final.
A Copa America?
When I moved to England, I said I didn't want to leave my old club.
I instantly thought, Lukaku, well, it's not Copa America.
that was the one.
Copa America final. Copa America. So he's played in, I'm guessing, Brazil. And he's he played Champions League final.
William?
No, we've had him before.
Oh, so that means it can't be. Yeah, but that was in the James.
2 Champions League final with no English clubs.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So Atletico Madrid.
Mm.
Real Madrid. Bayern Munich.
Real Madrid. Yeah.
But then he moved to England.
But didn't want to leave.
I'm thinking a Brazilian. Who's played for Bayern Munich? Oh, blimey, gosh and golly. Oh, give us another clue, Jack.
I'll give you the Champions League final.
That's what I was maybe thinking of. Because Juve and Bayern Munich.
Yeah, Douglas Costa.
What Champions League final?
So the clubs he played for in the Champions League final were Real Madrid and PSG.
So no, then. Okay, we couldn't be further away.
Real Madrid and PSG.
Real Madrid and PSG. You said he moved to England, right?
Yeah, when he moved to England, he said he didn't want to leave his old club.
I didn't know if this guy played for Real Madrid, though.
What names you got?
Thiago Silva.
No, never. Never a Madrid player, I don't think. And I don't think he didn't say he didn't want to leave PSG either.
I'm stuck on Brazil, man. That's why
Well, he scored in a final.
He scored in a final?
Yeah.
Scored the winner in a Copa America final.
Yeah.
Oh, a Copa America final. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a striker though, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah, you're right.
You have no clue, do you?
Maybe it is Thiago Silva.
I don't think it is though.
He never played for Real Madrid. He's AC Milan, PSG and then Chelsea. Yeah. Right.
Mother flipper, Jack. You make these banging hard, you know.
You can have one more clue.
Yeah, go on.
When I moved to England, I was the British transfer record.
British transfer record. British.
British transfer record.
He broke the British transfer. So,
he wasn't British.
He wasn't British. Oh, okay. He broke the record.
Oh, I don't know. What?
This is going to be really obvious. People are going to have a go at us again.
I'd advise you move away from Brazil.
Ah.
Oh. No, he was too young when he moved to City.
Have I got one? I might have got one. Might be Higuain. I don't know.
It's not Higuain.
It's not Higuain.
Oh, he might not play for PSG either. That's the moment.
Oh,
is it Angel Di Maria?
It is Angel Di Maria. Nice.
I would never get that as well.
Jesus.
Do you know what the annoying thing is? Yeah. Everyone's like commenting, oh, it's so easy, so easy, yeah, so yeah, easy.
I wouldn't be commenting.
You got 2 out of 5.
Thanks, man.
No, no, we got
I expected.
Oh, do we count that? Yeah, we count the Di Maria.
Hey, come on, guys. Come on, guys. I feel like that's sympathy.
It's
yeah, because you didn't want to leave Madrid when he went.
Do you know what? I don't want to be drawing like being the last. Yeah. I want to just be standalone. Zero. That's the one.
If anything, you're going to be mentioned way more now in the
Thank
pod.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true.
Right? It'll be like, I'll be the reference, but like, well, you can't yeah, do yeah. worse than Andrew Henderson.
Yeah.
Get minus
every time.
Every
yeah.
single time.
Like 4 seasons in.
Oh my God. Mate, Andrew, thank you very much for
thank
coming
you
on,
guys.
Man.
One
I really
more
appreciate
question.
Oh, here
we go.
All
right.
You run so many. Well, I don't say, but you've been involved in so many commercials.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of fakery in some commercials? Because we know the Ronaldinho advert was not.
Yeah, there is, man. For sure. For sure there is. But I think if you don't want to get caught up in it and like, oh, that player's amazing. Of course it's real. If you look at it just like open-mindedly.
They're making a commercial.
You know that. Yeah. But what I would say, you know that a lot of them are fake, but what I would say is that a lot of them are fake because not because the players are not capable of doing the actions, it's because their time's limited.
Okay.
So like, you know, if someone's doing a Pepsi commercial and they've got to kick it into a bin, for example.
Who's done that?
For example.
I think the David Beckham one is very obvious that it's fake.
Oh, well,
so,
Messi.
So for
or Messi, yeah.
All right, so for example, that one or the Messi one or whatever, it's like, say they're doing 3 commercials that day and that's one of them and they're only contracted to be there for 4 hours. They could get the first one in 10 minutes or it could take 4 hours.
Yeah.
It can't take 4 hours.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So they'll have 2 or 3 attempts like that. And even if they don't fake it and he does it accurately, it might not look as good. His body might cover the best angle. Yeah. His reaction after when he turns the camera and delivers his lines that he might have to deliver might not be right. So it's like, it's just easier to fake it, man.
Yeah.
And I think what I don't mind about that personally is that they're established in football.
That's
not a lie. We see that live.
Yeah.
And when they do commercials, they're just making people dream. They're just making kids dream and give them like hope. And like, I got inspired by watching a guy do the Brazilian Ronaldo do a commercial when he was like my idol at the time, but it wasn't even him that did the skills. But now I look back on that and I don't like, oh, screw Ronaldo. No, I don't care. You know, I'm just like, I'm grateful for that. So I think it just makes people dream. A lot of it is fake. But all my trick shots on Instagram are real, I promise.
And all first take.
Not all first day. No. I'm not the F2 freestylers, guys. Calm down.
All mine are first day.
Hey, I saw the video the other day and on the, was it PSG? Where is it? Yeah, PSG. Man, crazy skills. Crazy skills.
Yeah, yeah. Has there ever been a commercial where you've had to like sack it off with a player because they can't do it? Or like you had a trick plan and going, oh, okay.
So many times. Really? So many times I've
done. Are there any names that you can drop in it? Or not?
Well, I've just done so many like commercials where I haven't been the one in charge of the like creative.
Okay.
So I'll just be there and they'll bring me in to make sure that they do it, or just to be there to do freestyle, or I'm freestyling alongside the players in the commercial, and they'll come up with things that they don't. You know, they just assume that these players can do anything whenever they want. They're great football
actually,
players.
One you did do recently, I think I know it was you actually. It was you, wasn't it? The one with who's the geezer, the guy with grey hair from this morning?
Philip Schofield.
Oh no, that wasn't me.
I thought it was you.
No, that wasn't me. No, that was someone else. I can't remember who did it, but yeah, the Philip Schofield one. Yeah, everyone thinks that's me.
I think that's you.
No, it's not me. No, that's not me. For sure. I might take credit for it.
My life's been a lie.
It was me, guys. Yeah.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, that's Andrew.
It's Andrew. Yeah.
And I was like,
but nah.
Oh, well, that fucking disappointment.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Yeah. Sorry, man. I shouldn't have come on.
Mate, thank you so much. Come on, mate. Absolutely fascinating. Your story is fucking amazing.
Thanks.
Be sure to obviously check all his stuff out, linked in the description down below.
If you haven't already seen it anyway, because I mean, it's fucking everywhere.
Subscribe, notifications turned on. We're approaching 100K on YouTube and TikTok, actually.
Indeedy doody.
There you go.
Good stuff, guys.
Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
When are you fighting then? Call someone out when you're fighting.
That's it, man. Anyone that wants it, boxing, any form of martial arts, MMA, boxing, whatever. If you want it, let's go. We'll hype it up. If anyone wants to ask me any football related questions, then don't, because I don't know the answer to any of them. But
we should have done an MMA section.
Yeah, MMA, I'll get it all day. One. Do you know what? You've inspired me, guys, to brush up on my football knowledge.
Get read a book.
So thank you.
Football knowledge book. Yeah,
I'll do it.
All right. On that note, goodbye.
Bye.